from age 9 until age 18, I was raised by kind of a surrogate father, my pastor, John Rutten. He was in that church, Woodlawn Methodist Church, all the time. And he proved to be the most courageous white minister in the area. He was just built from the inside out to be present where there was the most blood flowing without any pomp and ceremony. Just there with a healing word. And he carried a congregation in what's almost the central city of Birmingham, the inner city of Birmingham, a white congregation, through all of this explosive periods with incredible courage. He influenced people like me, obviously. In his period, in his tenure there, I think there were about 9 young men who went into the ministry full time. That's kind of 1 year or something like that. I think I was the last. I was youngest. John, to say the least, meant a lot. There was another point I was going to make even before I thought of John. I can't remember what it was.
How did your involvement with civil rights and what was going on in Birmingham and around the South, how did that change you?
Well, it changed me, thankfully, to be a true believer, a hardcore believer. That has some unattractive sides to it. You know, you think everybody ought to be a St. Francis. You picture St. Francis smiling at everybody and melting them. I have discovered about myself that the compassionate, freeing love of Christ that sets me free to care for others does not always control my sense of rage, my ability to be judgmental. And I have I constantly am brought up short for that kind of that kind of nonsense, but it happens. But still, it has given me the ability to say yes to life in a way that I don't think I could have done otherwise, ever. I guess I could have, but this was my time. Opportunity to realize how limited is one's commitment. I don't think that it ever occurred to me that I shouldn't die for my neighbor, for my Lord, if I had to. But in fact, I run from that death. I get married, I have children. I don't want to put them in jeopardy. All those kinds of things. Makes you understand why people don't get married who are radical in the faith. That's not to say my wife and my children couldn't handle themselves, but it's just a trap that I get my own mind and heart in. Still do. There was a time where I forgot all that, and I just went out there in the streets with abandon. But I don't do that. I didn't do that long. But I don't think I'm essential. I'm certainly not afraid of that. But I've come to be much more cautious in how I weigh what's important, when I weigh what's important, what I'm willing to sacrifice. Indeed, I've spent the last several years reevaluating that, because I wore myself out just about, and I wore my family out. That's what really became apparent. So I said, okay, it's time to stop a while and do something else, not quite so volatile. And that's been a happy time. I don't feel like I've deserted the cause, but I do feel differently. And in some moments it doesn't feel real wonderful. But other moments I know it's probably right. And I just pursue my ministry in a different way than I once did. If I hadn't come here, I would have been what would be called a street worker all my adult life. Because that's what I was. I was a community worker, community organizer. And I did. I was the administrator of an urban mission agency, but that wasn't my strong suit. I really was an organizer, troublemaker, a guerrilla in the back alleys. It makes it sound more exciting than it was, by the way. And more dangerous than it was. It wasn't all that dangerous. Although, for the moment. I think the civil rights environment made a lot of us in the 60s and 70s. Entirely different human beings than we would have been otherwise. I can't imagine what I would have been. I'm not like any other person I know in the church. And among my colleagues. I don't know anybody that's ever shared with me that they have a burning rage in their belly. And when I share it with them, they don't know what's coming. Oh, there are wonderful human beings who are out there who are radically committed and do have fire in their belly, but I'm just talking about those that, I think of every day working colleagues.
What do you think that society learned or should have learned from what happened with the civil rights movement?
Well, Well, we should learn one by one, and then as a whole, is that when we're a fractured community, a broken community, we are, if we're Christians, we're not fulfilling our calling to be one. And I don't think we learned that too well, but we did some glad it's so. I mean, after all, I learned that. Didn't learn it well enough because I still live as if nothing can be done any day. I go fishing as well. You know the term.
Mm-hmm.
I think that persons in my generation appear to have had a chance to learn more than people in your generation because we had such dynamic leaders. I don't see them still pushing the agenda that we reconciled to you. No, I really don't see. But they were here when I was growing, you know, when I was in university. They were really here. And that's why I just yearn to have a handle at even at JSU. And I say, I'm a chaplain, what can I do? Because the chaplains in my school when I was coming up didn't give me any choice but to confront a few things. But we were eager to do it, I must say. I'm not sure I know too many students beyond you and a couple others who are eager to do that. And I hope I'm wrong. You see what I mean?
What do you think the time they learned or should have learned?
I think we should have learned that absent the desire and the ability to get along with that, surely as a society, then we go ahead. I'm not standing here.
How well do you think the goals of the movement were accomplished?
How well?
Yeah. And what do you think they achieved?
It's hard to say, but I'd say they did good. A lot of people say they do. But I think in the sense, you know, you've heard the example in class a lot of times, in the sense of getting the attention of the majority, namely hitting the mule upside the head with a 2x4 to get the mule's attention. That was done, and done effectively. The follow-through is something else, and I'm not able to judge that yet. It appears that we've kind of dropped the ball. I don't see the people out there who are carefully constructing the agenda, developing the tools. I think they are out there, but I don't see them like I used to. I don't see them at a local level. I don't see them at a national level. Now, I did see something in local levels. I see individual groups in places where there's enough people to gather together that continue to give their heart, soul, and minds to the agenda, but I don't see it in the public. Maybe what I saw earlier was the same thing I'm seeing now. It's just now I'm more jaded. I don't believe it so much. I'm a pretty harsh judge. So. You can push me if you want to. Push me on any of them.